really shows you that when we all bond together in a common cause, great things that can be done. I mean, Margaret Mead is the one who had that quote. She says, never let it be said that the work of a small group of committed people can change the world. For often, that's the only thing that ever has.
Mike Newcomb's Week in Review. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2, right here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Milliano. It could wipe out cervical cancer as we know it. The vaccine Gardasil, approved today by an FDA advisory panel, taking the Merck vaccine another step closer to market.
Gardasil works by blocking the viruses, the sexually transmitted viruses that cause most cases of cervical cancer.
CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Caledon.
This is the first vaccine ever specifically designed to prevent cancer. So doctors are telling me this is a real breakthrough in a disease where there aren't really that many breakthroughs.
Dr. Kevin Holcomb is a professor of OBGYN at Cornell.
The vaccine actually looks just like the virus, but it doesn't have any of the other DNA inside. And your body sees this, mounts antibodies against it. And then if you ever see a real human papillomavirus infection, you already have antibodies against it.
Its projected sales of Gardasil by the struggling drug maker could top $2 billion a year. Getting off Vioxx was supposed to get you off the risk of stroke. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato says there are new concerns now. Vioxx users may never get off the risk.
Wake Forest professor Kurt Furberg studied data on former Vioxx patients to see if there was some lasting stroke risk.
The risk persisted, and it persisted for the entire 12-month period after patients came off treatment.
Furberg, a member of an FDA drug safety panel, now suspects Vioxx and, in fact, also called COX-2 inhibitors may cause permanent cardiovascular damage. Vioxx's maker, Merck, disputes that. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
He's been missing since 75, but certainly not forgotten. And one of the most intensive searches for Jimmy Hoffa in decades, the FBI today summoned archaeologists and anthropologists and brought in heavy equipment to scour a horse farm for the body of the Teamsters boss. Daniel Roberts is the agent in charge of the Detroit FBI field office and would not disclose what led agents to the farm.
One of the major areas we're looking in, we may actually have to remove a building before we can start the digging under it.
No trace of Hoff has ever been found, and no one has ever been charged in the case. But investigators have long suspected he was killed by the mob to keep him from reclaiming the Teamsters presidency after he got out of prison for corruption. CIA director nominee General Michael Hayden says in the aftermath of 9/11, wireless surveillance had to be done. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says Hayden appeared today before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Hayden spent some 7 hours before the committee strongly defending the government's warrantless wiretapping of suspicious international phone calls, but refusing to say if they're also tracking everybody else's calls. He was pressed on that by Democrat Carl Levin.
You won't
session.
Answer
it?
No,
sir.
Answer.
I don't want to answer it in open session, sir.
Why is that?
Bob, I am not in a position to confirm or deny the story that appeared in USA Today.
At the end of the public questioning, Hayden met with senators behind closed doors, where he may tell them more, but they won't be allowed to tell anyone else what he said.
On the markets today, the Dow was down 77, NASDAQ down 15. This is CBS News.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
All right, everybody knows that safety belts save lives. Blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort. Click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
President Bush has been touring Ground Zero in the immigration debate, a stretch of the border in western Arizona that's said to be America's most violated sector.
The Guard is going to free up agents to be in direct contact with those trying to sneak across. It is the Guard's complementary. The Guard makes it easier for the Border Patrol to do its job.
President Bush told reporters the fencing there makes sense in the sector near Yuma, but doesn't make sense everywhere. Some tense moments in Conway, South Carolina. Horry County authorities say an 18-year-old girl was stabbed in the parking lot between two schools. Natalia Allison Holmes, a student at Carolina Forest High School, was pronounced dead at Conway Medical Center as the schools went into a lockdown. 24-year-old Edwin Lee Cornelius of Aynor was arrested shortly after the stabbing. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care from die-hard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now, we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, I fell asleep in front of the TV while eating some key lime pie. Now I've got ants.
Probably odorous house ants. They like their sweets.
Well, me too, but now they're full of sugar and they're moving my furniture around.
Wow. Well, they can lift 20 times their weight, but still there must be a lot of ants to move your furniture.
Yeah, and they must know feng shui because even though I don't like them, I'm relaxed enough to just wait till you get here.
Well, you should never have to wait long. So call us now at
1-800-ORKINMAN.
No rush.
Collins. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, created fresh daily, with ingredients provided by George W. Bush and his cronies. We bring you a lively, progressive talk show, unscripted, unrehearsed. All we know is it will be 3 hours in duration. Can you stand it? On our program today, media critic Norman Solomon joins us in about half an hour. Also, we're going to present Ray McGovern, the guy who stood up to Donald Rumsfeld, live from Rummy's house. That's right, Ray McGovern is leading a protest march in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. Over to the House of Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. We're going to talk to him live about an hour from now. Also on our program, Steve Rendell from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting talks about the various predictions New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman has made about the war in Iraq. And the bottom line is he needs a new crystal ball or a new palm reader, I'm not sure what. New tarot cards? And, of course, in our third hour, it's the regularly scheduled Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But you can call before then if you have a question or comment. Our Central Coast number is 831-899-5792. And our toll-free line that works coast-to-coast is 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you want more information on your humble host, you can go to peterbcollins.com with links to our archive programs and our live stream podcasts. You can email me. All that stuff's right there at peterbcollins.com. And we kick off the show with our weekly visit with Faz Shakir. I refer to him as the factoid guy. He doesn't pull out a tin of Altoids. He pulls out facts. And he is a co-editor of the Daily Progress Report at the Center for American Progress in Washington. If you haven't seen it, you should. Go to progressreport.org, and you can log on there and give them your email address. They'll put it in your box every day, and there is no charge for the truth. Isn't that a sweet deal? Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter. How are you this week?
I'm doing okay. Still struggling just a little bit with the burden of the era that we live in and just all the lies and confusion that get thrown around. Still trying to sort out the story from USA Today last week and the denials that have floated up. And now we have General Michael Hayden up on the Hill dodging questions from the Senate Intelligence Committee. And I sat through about an hour of it this morning, actually got up early, you know, and flipped on the tube. And it's very frustrating because he will not answer openly in public sessions. And we will never know what he says to the senators in the closed sessions. We're only going to have to take their word for it when a Feinstein or a Levin or other comes out and says, well, you know, they answered all my concerns, and I think these programs are okay. And that's a leap of faith that's really hard for me, Faz. What about you?
No, I completely agree with you. You know, Hayden's been sold to us as a guy who's independent and kind of a straight shooter, an honest person, and I thought Senator Feingold asked him probably the best question of the day, which is, Michael Hayden, given this program that you've overseen now for 3 or 4 years, do you believe that it's legal or not? And I thought Hayden gave a pretty disingenuous answer, stating that he had no qualms about the fact that this was a legal program. And I think that given the criticism that exists out there and most honest people who recognize that there are serious legal criticisms and questions about the wiretapping going on, that he couldn't even acknowledge that, I thought that was a big, big fault on his part.
And in the session that I watched, he did not have legal counsel sitting next to him to advise him on the technicalities of the law. And to my knowledge, the general is not a lawyer, not schooled in the law. And one of the critical issues has to do with the Fourth Amendment, which protects Americans from extraordinary search and seizure. And it has a trigger point, which is the term probable cause. And this is really crucial, and not just legal parsing, you know, like the definition of is, but the difference between the standard of reasonableness in order to conduct a search and probable cause to conduct a search, well, they are very different. And the general seemed to interchange them in a way that suggests he's not sensitive to those key differences.
Right. The key difference is that probable cause is a higher standard. If I'm asking whether a program is reasonable, it's more likely that you'll get an answer in the affirmative, yes, that is reasonable. But if you ask it, if it's a probable, does this rise to a probable cause standard, it's very difficult to meet that, or it's tougher to meet that. And so one of the issues with Hayden is that he was presented a question at a briefing back in January with the press, and a reporter from Knight Ridder asked him, why did you escape this probable cause standard? And General Hayden answered, well, you know, there's no probable cause standard in the Fourth Amendment. And, of course, that's wrong. I mean, there is a probable cause. It's right there in the language. Mm-hmm. And so it was disturbing for most people who were observing to see that the general who's overseeing this wiretapping program doesn't even know what the Fourth Amendment stands for.
Yeah, and he wants us to believe his assertions that we should all relax, that the only kind of surveillance that is being conducted is quote-unquote lawful, and that it's all designed to make us safer. And I'm not comfortable with either of those claims.
Right, and the just trust us line is getting old, you know, and especially when we continually are hit with even more damning evidence that they aren't telling the truth. And that's been the case over the past 5 years, is that every time they tell us it's one thing, we find out it's something else, and it's far worse.
Mm-hmm.
When they have something to hide, they generally tell us nothing. And so that's the case here, and that's why I think you have concerns like most Americans about what may be going on behind closed doors, because when they have something to hide, there's generally bad news to be found.
Yeah. Now, one of the interesting maneuvers is that in order to try to reduce the tension around the nomination of General Hayden to head the CIA, the White House finally relented and permitted full briefing of all members of both House and Senate intelligence committees on the NSA spying programs, and I say programs because two portions have been partly revealed to the American public, and I'm one of those people who says, well, that's not all there is. I don't know that, but that is my deeply held suspicion. And so it'll be interesting to see, once again, we will have no knowledge of the specifics that these Intelligence Committee members will be briefed on, but we will once again be asked to trust them and believe that they're objections have been satisfied sufficiently so that we should all relax.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I think that congressional authorization is just, it's not what I want, and I don't think it's what the American people want. We don't really care if Congress authorizes it or not, because ultimately the first thing we want to know is, are they telling the truth, right? And we're not sure that they're even telling the truth to Congress. And secondly, is the program legal or not? I mean, let's stand on a principle here. If it's illegal, then they can't be doing it whether Congress authorizes it or not. They have to pass a law. Not enough to just have oversight of a program. They have to pass a law to authorize this program, and it looks like the administration is not going to ask for that, and it doesn't look like Congress is willing to put its foot down and say, we're going to do this whether you like it or not. So I think that's the major issue.
Well, I agree, and I think you've identified the crucial dynamic there. The Democrats are in the minority. They can raise questions. They can stomp their feet. but they don't have the votes to stop this confirmation. And likewise, we need strong Republicans who are willing to depart from their longstanding support for the administration, no questions asked, to say, wait a minute, you know, this is un-American, this is unconstitutional. And so far, I don't have any indication of a principled Republican who is going to stand up and block this nomination based on the decisions made by General Hayden at NSA.
Yeah, the nomination, I think, is important more for its symbolic reason than anything. I mean, if you really care about these programs, you really care about the Constitution, you really care about protecting our privacy, then you have to block this nomination, even if you like General Hayden, just because it sends a symbolic message to the White House that we're not going to tolerate it. And until you, I mean, we're not going to block Hayden forever. If you want to change the law, we'll be happy to let Hayden go through. But if you're going to continue to insist that that you have the right to conduct illegal activity, then we're not just going to rubber stamp CIA nominee that you put before us.
Well, and I'm not so comfortable with changing the law retroactively and just saying that there is no culpability by the president or by General Hayden. I'm not, you know, like Nancy Grace, I'm not going to convict them right here on my broadcast, but I'm also not going to exonerate them and say, oh, that was okay, 9/11 changed everything, we understand. They intentionally broke the law, and, you know, until it was revealed, they didn't disclose it to more than a handful of people on the Hill, and I don't regard that as compliance with the FISA law or with the longstanding practices of the Intelligence Committee, which is especially set up to avoid partisan rancor. So, you know, these are issues that need to be fully aired out, and I have very little confidence that that will be achieved. Faz, we're going to take a break and return and talk more about General Hayden's performance on Capitol Hill today. If you have a question or comment, you can join us, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free from anywhere in the U.S., 1-888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roll and Real Estate, meet some of the top real estate agents here in the Bay Area. You'll learn about where the best open houses are this Sunday. That's this week on Rock Roll and Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. Your number one source for all your real estate needs heard all over Northern California. To be a guest on Rock Roll and Real Estate, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roll and Real Estate. You can also listen online at www.rockrollandrealestate.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning.
to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Jeep Commander 4x4, a 7-passenger SUV that's roomier than the Cherokee. My demo has a 3.7-liter V6 and a 5-speed automatic with full-time all-wheel drive. The Commander is a solid SUV with a comfy suspension, holds the road well, and accelerates pretty well for an SUV. Well-priced compared to the competition, my demo has a good accessory package, but it's not all leathered up and there's no DVD player for the kids. It's a roomy, solid, practical 4x4, and you should test drive it before you buy a Range Rover or other luxury SUV. By the numbers, the 2006 Jeep Commander gets 16 miles in the city, 19 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $30,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hour as the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We continue our weekly debriefing with Faz Shakir from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. A couple of quick notes, Faz. Saw Lawrence Korb, your colleague, a senior fellow at CAP, on the NewsHour on PBS last night. Once again, he acquitted himself very well. It's always
well,
nice
great.
To see him.
Yeah, very well versed in what's going on in the military and in Iraq, and I think that for those of us on the left, it's great to hear a former Reaganite speaking the truth.
Yeah. Also, your colleague at the Progress Report, Judd Legum, posted an item yesterday that I wanted to get you to amplify a little bit about an alleged presidential memo, not an executive order, but a memorandum, that permits the intelligence director, who's currently John Negroponte, to authorize telephone companies to lie, for example, to say, we didn't collect any phone records, and those lies would not violate securities law, which would be one way that people could sue them over their failure to tell the truth and honor their privacy contracts with customers like me. And Judd pointed out that the denials that have come from AT&T, BellSouth, and Verizon are a little bit hard to buy. And there are three possibilities: that the story in USA Today last week was wrong, that the telcos used a special language to wiggle out of the claims that they have violated the law, or that they're simply not telling us the truth. And Judd points out a memo that was presumably signed by the president on May 5th. What do we know about this?
Yeah, that's the most amazing part of this, is that's why it raises alarm bells for all of us, is because it was just signed so recently, May 5th, just a week before we learned of this USA Today story, and so maybe they knew it was coming. I don't know. That might be some speculation. So we're focusing on the third element of what you described. We think that there might be reason to believe that the companies aren't telling us the truth when they say that they've denied that they turn over records to the NSA. And why do we believe that? Well, according to this presidential memorandum, it authorizes companies who turn over records to the NSA not to tell the public for national security reasons. They can go out and deny to the public that they've turned it over, and still not be held legally liable for having lied to the public. And so that's what we have reason to believe. That, you know, there's some speculation out there that might have been the case. We just put it out there and let people determine for themselves and see if we can get a story out of that.
Yeah, well, we will keep an eye on this and see if that one surfaces. To your knowledge, did anybody question General Hayden about this today?
No questions, unfortunately. I know that some reporters, we had learned that some reporters are following up on that and hope to write some stories, so we'll be looking out for that, and hopefully they do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Faz, another item in today's Progress Report refers to General Hayden's previous statements under oath, some that he made when he was confirmed as NSA director, and then when he was confirmed as the number two to John Negroponte. What are the issues that he may have been dissembling on?
Well, you know, in October of 2002, when he testified before Congress, he said that everything that they were doing was consistent with FISA. And, of course, at that point, the warrantless wiretapping program had been well in effect, and it wasn't being run according to FISA. And according to Hayden and Attorney General Gonzalez, the reason they didn't go to FISA is because they didn't think that they could get approval from them, nor did they go to Congress because they didn't think they could get approval from them either. So when General Hayden testified to Congress that FISA, they were doing everything according to FISA, it was in fact a lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting again to see if there is an aggressive senator on the Intelligence Committee. If I had to put money, it would be Ron Wyden, the Democrat from Oregon. Any others who you think might be particularly tough on Hayden?
Well, I always hold out a little bit of hope for Feingold as well. And I guess, yeah, that's really it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really angers me, and I think we've talked about this on your show for a while, is this dichotomy that the Bush administration has set up, that you can only be for this program if you want to go after Al-Qaeda. If you're against it, that means you want to welcome new attacks on the homeland. And I think it's just really important for us to put our foot down and say that you can do both, right? And that that the reason that the laws are in place, first of all, the laws were structured so that we could protect civil liberties and fight an aggressive war if we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And that the reason we have those checks and balances is because power could be abused. And now these stories coming out about how the NSA might be tapping or tracking the records of reporters should be no surprise to us, because that's what happens when you don't check power.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to make sure that we are following the law in these cases.
Well, Faz, why don't you hop in the car with me here? And let's drive over to Burger King. And we'll get in the drive-thru lane and order up a couple of Whoppers in honor of General Hayden and his testimony today. Here's the lead line or two from CNN's report on the hearings. President Bush's pick to head the CIA said Thursday that if the government's phone-tapping program were in place before 9/11, at least two hijackers would likely have been identified. General Hayden told the Senate confirmation hearing the controversial NSA wiretapping program that he helped institute would have caught two 9/11 hijackers in San Diego. Now, this is just so frickin' incredible, because anybody who has looked into the San Diego cell knows that there were multiple leads to them that didn't require this. The wife of the Saudi ambassador was sending money to these people in San Diego. And
right.
Maybe she was hoodwinked into doing it. She thought it was a charity thing. But, you know, to say this is just so bogus. It is as bogus as the photographs they released saying it proves there was a plane that flew into the Pentagon.
This is the myth that was peddled by Vice President Cheney just a few months back. And now that General Hayden is saying it, it shows you that he's kind of a bit of a lapdog for Vice President Cheney, who he's reported to be close friends with. The other thing about this is that you're right, that the San Diego cell issue was not a problem of not having enough legal authority. The problem was that the bureaucrats within the FBI, the CIA, and all the other intelligence analysts didn't know what laws they had available to them and didn't exercise those laws. They could have gone after them in ways that they did not do under the law. They just didn't know what the law was. So the issue was not an expansion of the law is needed. No, that's not the issue here. The issue is knowing the law and following the law.
Yeah. And finally, Faz, we got about 30 seconds. It looks like they took the mothballs off the House Ethics Committee now that Alan Mollahan has temporarily stepped down and Howard Berman of Los Angeles has stepped up.
Well, they claim they're now going to go after some of the cases that they've been long neglecting, like, for example, I think Duke Cunningham's one of the issues they're going to talk about. Also, I think Alan Mollahan. And so we'll see if it goes anywhere. I think that maybe this is for political reasons that they're heading into the elections. They want to make sure that this
is
an
cynical fan.
This is a campaign
issue. Just because it's an election year? Oh, come on. Good to talk to you, my man.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. Faz Shakir, Center for American Progress, Daily Progress Report, progressreport.org. Coming up next, Norman Solomon joins us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover great plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Do you struggle when it comes to teaching your child about the family rules? It's essential to learn to set limits when your children are young, and for parents to mean what they say and say what they mean. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me Sunday to discuss love with limits.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on this afternoon. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up right after the top of the hour, Ray McGovern will join us, the guy who stood up to Donald Rumsfeld. And he's going to be live from right in front of Donald Rumsfeld's house in Washington, D.C. That's coming up.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy.
Joining us this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show is author and media critic Norman Solomon. His newest book is called War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Norman, welcome to our program today. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Well, good. I'm glad we could connect up with you.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk with you, first of all, about the NSA spying program and the coverage thereof. We have now General Hayden up on Capitol Hill, who is reassuring the American people that everything has been done lawfully and to protect us, to make us safer. And I, of course, have a hard time buying that, Norman. And what astounds me even further is two things. One, that in general, the Democrats are not screaming about these issues the way I think they should. And number two, that the media seems to be, other than that very brave investigative journalistic organ, USA Today, sitting back and just taking at face value what they're told by the administration and the NSA.
Well, I think both of your points are very much connected because, to a large extent, the news media seem to be glad to take their nod from the mood on Capitol Hill. And unless you've got a bunch of Democrats yelling and screaming, then the stenographic impulse of the news media is simply to say, hey, it's not really a big issue. It may be troubling. There are questions in certain people's minds. But I think that we are in danger anyway of having a replay of December and January, where the initial story about NSA eavesdropping on phone conversations that have one person in the United States and one person elsewhere in the world, that was a big to-do. And then we had these interestingly phrased poll numbers come in where, depending on how the question was asked, you know, half the people are concerned or most people are or are not. But the conventional media wisdom became, well, you know, it's not a loser for Bush. Because, you know, frankly, if Bush gets half the public now, it's a big improvement over his approval rating.
Yeah, right.
And now we've got more information that things are even worse than the initial New York Times story indicated. I mean, they're doing a mix and match with who knows how many millions of phone number connections to other phone numbers. If they want to find out what Peter B. Collins is doing in terms of talking to who and presumably then about what, if they can analyze the patterns, they can do that. And I think that the news media, rather than on the whole just going to town on this issue, kind of just waited for the smoke to clear rather than do a lot of clarifying themselves.
Well, it's interesting. On Monday, we did a segment with a gentleman from Media Matters, and we pulled up some quotes from reporters regarding the NSA surveillance programs. And one came from Brian Ross at ABC News, and the transcript showed that he had essentially said that, you know, the administration represents that this is no threat to domestic calls, and they're not spying on Americans. Well, the very next day, Brian Ross went public because he learned that the FBI has been actively monitoring his calls and others by reporters at ABC News when they call government sources, perhaps on other occasions, too, when they call out for lunch or call home to check on the little woman.
Right. And I think, or the little man, you know, who knows?
Right.
They're pretty much in a mode where it depends on whose ox is being gored. And now I think there's an effort of the Bush administration to say, you know, if you haven't been involved with terrorists, you have nothing to worry about. And then they kind of move the football and say, well, if you haven't been involved in leaks, which we all should agree are bad, then you have nothing to worry about. And pretty soon, you know, if you haven't done anything other than go to church or synagogue or mosque, you have nothing to worry about. I mean, they keep increasing, they're forced to acknowledge about the increasing scope of their surveillance. And I thought that civil liberties had to do, among other things, with us being secure in our places and as persons who live in this country. We're not supposed to simply be watched and spied on by the government at every turn.
And we have seen two phases, two aspects of NSA activities. And I want to stress we're only looking at NSA right now.
Yeah.
We don't know what CIA may have done domestically. We don't know exactly what FBI is up to. We're not sure about the Defense Intelligence Agency and whether the president unilaterally authorized them to start intercepting communications from Americans, even if it is from you know, America to abroad or vice versa. And so I have to assume that people like Russell Tice, who have blown the whistle and who are dying to tell us the truth, that they are suggesting that there are other phases to this surveillance effort that we don't have a clue about yet.
Well, I think that's a very safe bet. You know, there were people, including Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers, who last December said, when this story broke, it's not only about supposedly eavesdropping on the conversations with possible terrorists and that sort of thing. He strongly suggested that this was about also monitoring the domestic political enemies of the White House. And this goes back to the Watergate era and the Nixon administration. When they have this unbridled power, they feel under political siege, they use the eavesdropping and surveillance power that they have through the FBI and CIA, and now we know NSA. And so we fast forward, and indeed that's exactly what we now know concretely has happened. Spying on journalists to find out who they're getting information from that then can reach the public and not make the people in the White House happy.
And Norman, I mentioned this in the previous segment, but it's worth repeating. General Hayden told the Senate confirmation hearing today that the NSA wiretapping program that he helped institute would have caught two 9/11 hijackers in San Diego before they carried out their mission. Had this been in place prior to the attacks, he said, the two hijackers who were in San Diego, Khalid Almidar and Nawaf Al-Hazmi, almost certainly would have been identified as who they were, what they were, and most importantly, where they were. Now, this is such a crock, and it's one of the talking points of the administration, which is to always invoke the fear card and suggest, without any shred of evidence whatsoever, that if they'd only been able to spy on us before 9/11, that it would have been stopped. And speak to it, because it's just breathtaking the way they are stretching the truth and asking Americans to believe this.
Well, it is breathtaking, and really what they're trying to do is kind of pump the oxygen out of the room for any sort of actual debate. It is the final hold card of this administration, the claim that anything they're doing that makes people upset over civil liberties and other grounds is to protect the public from terrorism. And that's kind of the default position. Bush said this the other day. He said, decided after 9/11 that I was going to protect the American people and do what it takes. And, you know, you could almost insert a digital recording device and then just activate it whenever Bush is challenged about his latest scandals. I mean, it was surprising to me that they didn't dredge up some way to try to justify the horrible criminal negligence after the Katrina hurricane and blame that on the need to prepare against terrorism.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And again, so many Americans and so many of the repeaters in the media simply take this stuff at face value and pass it along. I'm still a little hung up, and Norman, I don't know exactly what your position is on the 9/11 truth movement and the accuracy of the stories we've been told about what happened that day. But this new photo, or alleged new photos, I've seen most of those frames before, that were released to the conservative group Judicial Watch under a Freedom of Information Act request this week, were played on television, and you know, Mick Leshefsky, the NBC correspondent from the Pentagon, just repeated what the Pentagon says. This proves that a plane was flown into that building. And the photographs don't prove any such thing. The emperor has no clothes, and these reporters cannot acknowledge that.
Well, we have an administration that just has lost credibility, whereas to such an extent that, you know, I'm up here in Northern California, and I got to tell you, there's virtually no cloud in the sky right now. But if President Bush at this moment got on live television and said, Northern California is completely dark, I would run outside, you know, because I would assume that he was lying. And in that case, he would be making it up. And so, you know, no matter what the Bush administration, and this is kind of a tragedy in a way, because even broken clocks are right once in a while. There is factual information that comes out of the White House. Just based on their record, everything they say should be questioned.
And where are the skeptics? You know, they can be skeptical of anything proposed from the left. They seem to lose all skepticism when it comes from the official source of this administration.
Well, yeah, I think that's true. And we have, if there's ever been a case where an administration should have worn out its welcome on trust from the press corps, this one should have been worn out several years ago. And, you know, you have some people like Thomas Friedman in the last couple of days in the New York Times, who are now in the press saying, you know, this administration has lost any semblance of credibility whatsoever. They're finished, washed up. It's worse than lame duck. They're a dead duck when it comes to credibility. And I have two basic reactions to that. One is, yes, it's true. And the other is, why did they wait until 2006 to point that out?
Yeah. And, Norman, coming up later today, your friend Steve Rendell from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, an organization you helped found, is going to be on the show to go on a little more at length about Friedman and compare some of his previous predictions to the current spin that he's been serving up over the last few columns. We're going to take a quick break and return with Norman Solomon. If you have a question or comment, you can get on the line right now. Central Coast, a line available at 831-899-5792. You can call me toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice. It's 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Where go?
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented them from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we got the new Neil Young CD, Living with War. Check this one out.
Today's the day our younger son is going off to war, fighting in the air.
That one's called Flags of Freedom. This new Neil Young CD is very powerful and includes the song Let's Impeach the President and many others. Norman Solomon's with us. He's the author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. And you can often find his work at normansolomon.com. Is there some construction going on or is somebody hacking in there, Norman?
Oh, it's really hard to tell.
No, I went to your site earlier today and they told me to come back later.
Oh, I see. Well, gee, that's a new one on me.
Okay, well, check it out. Sometimes things happen. Just briefly, I wanted to mention something that's still sticking in my proverbial craw about 15 hours later. I was watching the NewsHour on PBS last night. A couple of interesting minor points. They have new theme music and new graphics, and it's kind of a nice upgrade. And the other thing that's interesting is at the very opening frame of the show, they still refer to Robert McNeil, Robin. It shows McNeil Lehrer. Do you know anything about whether he is still involved as, producer emeritus or founder emeritus, something like that?
Well, I believe it's still the McNeil Lehrer Productions, even though he has no day-to-day involvement. Mm. And it's not really a public enterprise. I mean, they're on contract with PBS and so forth, but they have their own production company, and they have Archer Daniels Midland and some other corporate giants that give them millions of dollars a year, which, frankly, for public television, ought to raise warning flags for viewers.
Yeah. And it's so annoying. I record the PBS NewsHour because it's on at 3 o'clock here on the West Coast and watch it later in the evening. And I'm always annoyed that I have to fast forward through the commercials on public television.
Yeah. They're not commercials, Peter. They're enhanced underwriter credits that go on and on and on. But I think the difference is that if they're selling, like, very expensive cars and there's Mozart on, then it's not supposed to be commercials. It's something else.
Well, what stuck with me last night is in the news summary, they referred to the president applying his signature to the tax cuts, and the closing line that Lehrer delivered was, Republicans believe this will continue to stimulate the economy. Democrats believe the tax cuts go mostly to the rich. What's wrong with that statement?
Well, you're making a key point. It's not a mystery as to where most of the tax cuts go. It's not a matter of belief. It's a factual matter. The vast majority, I've seen 80%+. I don't know, we can quibble about the percentages, but the vast majority of this tax cut benefit is going to the wealthy. To put that on a par with the rather subjective prognostication about whether the economy will be stimulated, you know, what are they, potted plants? They're supposed to be journalists.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they could have said Democrats argue or Democrats point out.
Yeah.
And that would have indicated a fact, not a belief or an opinion.
Well, of course, he's in the bracket where it's going to be a big tax break. I mean, he's making Jim Lehrer a huge profit, and the major underwriters such as Archer Daniels Midland, they're benefiting from these tax policies, and that's rarely, if ever, talked about on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I want to shift to another topic. I am a big booster of Jason Leopold, who is out on the end of the diving board right now. He published two stories last week based on anonymous sources, but ones that he is convinced are telling the truth, indicating, A, that Karl Rove first told Bush and Josh Bolten, the new White House chief of staff, that he expected to be indicted soon, and then that there was a lengthy meeting on Friday at Patton Boggs, and maybe blows out of the picture, I can never tell, but at the Patton Boggs law firm where Robert Luskin works, Rove's attorney, and that there were lengthy meetings with prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. And so far, no mainstream media organization has backed up Jason Leopold's reporting. And since then, Rove and a spokesman, actually Luskin and a spokesman for Rove, have flatly denied some of the key assertions in Jason's story. I am inclined to believe it, and part of it is my own bias that I have long believed that Karl Rove was at the center of the leak of Valerie Plame Wilson's identity in an effort to smear Joe Wilson. And so I recognize my bias, but I believe that for unknown reasons that there's a stonewall going on. Number one, it certainly makes Jason Leopold look bad, and number two, The rest of the media appears to be silent on the issue. Rove gave a speech with Q&A Monday at the American Enterprise Institute. 75 Washington-based reporters there, and not one of them said, "Hey, Carl, have you been indicted?"
Yeah, well, there's nothing succeeds like success. As long as somebody's riding high in Washington, they get a lot of deference, and I think that's the sad reality. If he's indicted, then his stock, so to speak, will drop sharply. But until then, he did engineer, I can't say re-election of President Bush, but him getting back in the White House for a second term. And I think in general, the White House press corps just has way too much respect for consolidation of power. As long as the power is closely held, centralized, there's just too much respect given from reporters.
And I understand there's a major network, one with three letters, that had a camera crew outside the law offices confirmed, despite Luskin's denials, that he was there and Fitzgerald was there on Friday. And that story has been spiked by network superiors.
Well, I don't know what's going on with Jason Leopold's sources. It's possible that there's been a delay in an indictment, even if there's an intention. Who knows when it will actually happen? I know the indictment is a very complicated process. A more chilling possibility is that there were a couple of sources inside the Justice Department or wherever who decided they really wanted to do damage to Mr. Leopold's career,
mm-hmm.
and so they basically fed him some disinformation. It certainly wouldn't be unprecedented to try to damage a very good reporter in that way.
All right, let's go to Julie in Carmel. Thanks for holding, Julie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Norman Solomon.
Oh, good afternoon. Great guest.
Thank you.
Well, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if the news came out on June 7th.
Right after our election, you mean?
Oh, of course.
Uh-huh.
But in any event, nothing surprises me that they do anymore. And what I've been sort of mulling over when I think about the kind of casual attitude that people have toward having their calls either monitored or just recorded, the calls themselves recorded, is that this is being done to us on a regular basis, and people get used to it. You know, you call a company, and your calls are being monitored, recorded, and
Julie, I think that's Osama calling on your other line there.
Yeah, it could be. You know, Bush doesn't care about him, so, you know, maybe somebody else wants to talk to him, but Bush couldn't care less about him or where he is or...
Mm-hmm.
But also, I hear so many nuggets of information during the day, and I just have to throw this out to you.
Okay.
And also, I wanted to ask your guest this question about
okay, try
the
to be
legality.
Quick. Only 30 seconds, Julie. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you hear that Abramoff and Mohammed Atta were in photograph together?
No.
Well, a guest called in this morning and said that, and I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to Google it. I did hear that and that they were hanging out together or something. But I did wonder about the legality of having our calls monitored when we call companies.
Yeah. All right, Julie, thanks for your point. And we'll look into the Abramoff-Atta connection. That's just too much. Norman, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thank you, Peter.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to my friend Ray McGovern, who stood up to Donald Rumsfeld live from in front of Rummy's house. That's coming up.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect front man for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
major health news.
This is the first vaccine ever specifically designed to prevent cancer.
A new search for the remains of Jimmy Hoffa.
This is the best lead I've seen come across on the Hoffa investigation.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's a big moment in medicine. A panel of experts advising the Food and Drug Administration has unanimously recommended approval of Gardasil, a vaccine developed by Merck to protect women against cervical cancer. CBS News medical correspondent Elizabeth Callinan has details.
It's the first vaccine ever specifically designed to prevent cancer. It works by blocking the sexually transmitted viruses that cause most cervical cancers. In trials of 17,000 young women, it was 100% effective. Advocates are recommending it be given to 11 and 12-year-old girls before they become sexually active. And despite some early opposition to the vaccine from groups suggesting it would encourage sexual promiscuity, doctors argue,
this is not a license for promiscuity. It's just like helmets. They don't make bike riders fall off more from the bike or drive dangerously.
Gardasil triggers immunities to the viruses that cause most cases of cervical cancer. While this is very good news for Merck, the company got more bad news today about its arthritis drug Vioxx. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
New data tracking former Vioxx users over several months finds that strokes may occur long after people stopped taking the pain and inflammation drug. Wake Forest expert Dr. Kurt Furberg warns Vioxx may cause long-term cardiovascular damage. And he goes further, suggesting this may be the case with all so-called COX-2 inhibitors.
I have no reason to believe that Celebrex is different.
Vioxx's maker Merck denies there's any stroke risk. The drug was taken off the market in 2004. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
There is no doubt a T-Mobile Motorola Razr V3 phone would make a mind-blowingly cool graduation gift. Well, brace yourself, because right now with activation at CompUSA, you can get it for free. Or pick up a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera and get a $50 instant savings. All kinds of phenomenal graduation deals are good through this Saturday, so hightail it to CompUSA. We got it, we get it.
Prices vary in Connecticut. Required new in-store activation or qualified upgrade on a rate plan $39.99 or higher. See store for details.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
The FBI has brought heavy equipment, cadaver dogs, archaeologists, and anthropologists to a farm outside Detroit where Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa may have been buried 31 years ago.
You can see from the amount of FBI and police department personnel out here that this is probably a fairly credible lead.
FBI Special Agent Dan Roberts says it's the best lead he's seen.
This is going to be a very long-term process. We plan to be out here for probably a couple of weeks at least until we can finish with this entire search and make sure that we've covered everything adequately.
The horse farm was once owned by a Teamsters Union official, and officials say mob figures used to meet in a barn on the property. Reportedly, a backhoe was seen near that barn on the summer day in 1975 when Hoffa disappeared. President Bush kept the focus on immigration today when he visited the Mexican border.
I'm Tom Foldy in Yuma, Arizona. President Bush came, he saw, and while he might not have conquered the raging border security issue here, he did keep up his call for a comprehensive solution to it. After touring what is described as a hotbed of illegal immigration here, he told CBS News,
"We can't have amnesty. Secondly, there must be a comprehensive plan. And third, we've got to move manpower and equipment down here so the Border Patrol can do its job."
Mr. Bush says Congress needs to act on this, and while he accepts the idea of stronger high-tech fences in parts of the border, he cannot see such a fence everywhere.
The immigration bill in the Senate provides for a virtual fence using cameras, sensors, and other technology to monitor the borders. For now, a CBS News poll finds support for the president's proposal to use troops.
62% of Americans favor the idea of stationing about 6,000 National Guard troops at the border. And about 68% of them think that actually that would be effective in reducing the level of illegal immigration.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit. In Afghanistan today, some of the worst violence since the fall of the Taliban. More than 100 people reported killed in battles between Islamic militants and Afghan, U.S., and Canadian forces. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
There is no doubt a T-Mobile Motorola Razr V3 phone would make a mind-blowingly cool graduation gift. Well, brace yourself, because right now with activation at CompUSA, you can get it for free. Or pick up a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera and get a $50 instant savings. All kinds of phenomenal graduation deals are good through this Saturday, so hightail it to CompUSA. We got it, we get it.
Prices vary in Connecticut. Required new in-store activation or qualified upgrade on a rate plan $39.99 or higher. See store for details.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
Let's do it.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Our operator today is James Pena, so if we skid off the side of the road, that's the license we'll get yanked. Coming up later this hour, Steve Rendell from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting is going to join us. They've done an interesting study of Thomas Friedman's writings over the last couple of years, and that's what we're going to talk about. Coming up next hour in the Free Speech Zone, we'll talk about the search for the Jimmy Hoffa cadaver.
Wow.
The alleged meaning between Jack Abramoff and Muhammad Atta. I need more info on that. And you will be shocked, shocked, shocked to learn that just a few days after the president proposes a secure border initiative, the big defense contractors are lining up for their share of the loot. But first, I want to tell you one reason why I'm proud to be an American. Ray McGovern.
I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of all the good things we've done. This television free religion, rock and roll, and an old Times Square, Jimmy Derrick, Oprah, well, the Pokemon, mass reduction, reconstruction, peace, core, and lots more culture than we got to live.
Weeks ago today in Atlanta, Georgia, Donald Rumsfeld spoke at a gathering, and Ray McGovern was there. He was invited to attend the event. He had a ticket. And during the scheduled question and answer period, he stood up and he asked questions, didn't get very good answers, and persisted in grilling the Secretary of Defense. That episode was played by the corporate media in this country in such a twisted way that it prompted me to call Ray McGovern at the moment I heard about it, just to thank him for standing up. And it was conveyed to the American public that Ray McGovern was a heckler, that he was a protester who barged into this event and kind of grilled the Secretary of Defense in that manner. Ray joins us on the phone today, and Ray, I am so proud of the way you spoke up for so many Americans in a manner that our media just cannot find the courage to do.
Well, thanks, Peter B. It's good to be back with you.
Well, and tell us a little bit about that exchange. I saw you on television later that night with the guy I call the Little Mother, Tucker Carlson. he didn't wear a bow tie that night, which was a bit of a relief. And the moment you came on the satellite feed, I was again proud of you because they put the word heckler in the chyron, the graphic that was under your face on the screen, and you immediately told Tucker that you were offended by that.
Yeah, I guess they in the media, the mainstream media, they consider any direct question of one of the royalty there that lives around the White House and Defense Department, any direct question must be a heckle,
yeah.
Because it does get hackles up, and they just avoid direct questions like the plague. So I had all manner of interesting reaction. One very prominent mainstream media host said, well, weren't you afraid? Weren't you embarrassed at one point? No, I said, it was fun. You ought to try it. You know? Give it a thought, you know? And, you know, I'm still around and about, so so far anyway.
Yes. Your calls are being monitored, but that's well, not new.
No, that's not new, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, an interesting reflection of how the mainstream media handled it, because to their credit, CNN called me as soon as, you know, my cell phone, as soon as I was outside the auditorium, and they said, what are your sources for those charges? I said, well, they're not charges, they're factual points, but here they are, and I gave it to them. Well, within 10 minutes, I was invited onto three CNN programs, and they put up the actual Rumsfeld quotes, you know, when he said apparently there weren't any weapons of mass destruction, and I said, yeah, but you told us you knew where they were. I said, I did not. And I said, yeah, you did. You said they were in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad. And
north, south, east, and west.
Yeah.
That's real specific.
Yeah. And he said, and so what they did was they went to their source and saw exactly that he said exactly those words on March 30th, 2003, just 2 weeks into the war. And so they put that, they juxtaposed that with what he denied saying and then what I had said he said. So CNN put itself quite well, even though Paul Lauzon had a list of what questions I'd call fresh. You know, she said, well, you know, why do you have such an axe to grind against the defense secretary? And I said, axe to grind? It's not about axes to grind. It's about finding what the truth is. You know?
Yeah.
You got to try it. Try it. You'll like it. You know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have time between my trips to the hairdresser and my appointments with my nail specialist.
What they say then is we'll have to let it go at that.
Yeah, right.
So that, and that's exactly what CBS, ABC, and Fox did. You know, they said Rumsfeld said this, McGovern said this, Rumsfeld said that. And I guess we'll have to let it go at that. See?
Yeah.
So,
what's interesting, Ray, is that in the past, this kind of comparative journalism has entered the mainstream through Jon Stewart's Daily Show.
Yeah, right.
And the example I offer is about Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
When Cheney denied to that MSNBC reporter that he had, you know, said that there was a solid link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, and then it was the Daily Show that produced the comparative clip that showed that he had flatly said that just 2 years before.
Yeah.
And then a day later, that crept into the network media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this time, you performed the function of the Daily Show.
Yeah. Actually, John Daly did put me on, or put the episode on about 3 days later.
Yes, he did.
And it was hilarious. It was really good.
So,
we're up at Rumsfeld's house today.
Yeah, I got to hear about that. You led a march there, and Cindy Sheehan led a march to the White House. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yeah, Cindy and I were together for both marches, and it wasn't so much our leading it. Code Pink was there, and, you know, it's a pretty egalitarian bunch, but it was a very spirit-filled group, and we got rained on a little bit, but then the sun came out, and it was just it's about 3.5 miles up there at Rumsfeld's house from the White House. And
now, where does he live? I know D.C. a little bit.
Yeah, he lives up off Connecticut Avenue on Calarama Street.
And okay.
So we all sat in the entrance, but nobody was arresting anybody today.
Uh-huh. And did they offer you a soda, or?
No, they had, you know, had this, they were battered down, you know. They looked like they were expecting demonstrators, and of course
mm-hmm.
they were. I will say this, the D.C. police treated us quite well, even furnished a motorcycle or two, and we needed to cross major avenues like Connecticut Avenue, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's progress.
And was there coverage, Ray?
Well, there were the usual 20 TV-type cameras, but there was one lady from the mainstream media who just didn't seem to understand why she was there and kept asking, is somebody going to get arrested? Is somebody going to get arrested? I guess there's no story unless somebody gets arrested.
Well, she had just been parachuted in from the Duke rape case. You know, and that's all she knows. Anybody going to get arrested? What do we got?
So it was very instructive. Today was a real high point because there was a very good crowd. There's a religious convergence-type meeting here in town. Michael Lerner. And the religious leaders were out en masse, so we had quite a large rally and lots of good speakers at the White House, Lafayette Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a, you know, kind of a light delivery of all these signatures. Don't make war on Iran, please, without telling the rest of us and the Congress like you're supposed to. And so we delivered many thousands of those. And then we reassembled and walked all the way up to Rumsfeld's house. So it was singing, and it was sort of like the old days, you know.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to read Rabbi Lerner's book, The Left Hand of God?
I have not yet, but I intend to very, very shortly.
I recommend it to you. I spent an hour talking with him and was very impressed. And he has an interesting analysis of the role of spirituality in politics today and ways that people who are not right-wing nuts can capture that, connect with it. Not trying to, you know, fake people out or manipulate them, but simply connect on a realistic basis, and I think it's very interesting. Ray, we've got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. If you'd like to talk with Ray McGovern and share your congratulations, well, you can join me in that chorus if you'd like. I'm just so proud of the work he's been doing and the way he stood up to Don Rumsfeld. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540, here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave the Coastal Gardener every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 checks in at Metro Traffic, and Amy Knight is on duty. What do you got, Amy?
A new accident to report, Peter, in the Santa Cruz Mountains, South 17. After the summit, it's a solo motorcycle into the center divide. The driver up and walking around, and Highway Patrol just arrived on scene, but expect delays. Also in San Bernardino County, South 101 at 129, there's 4x4 wooden posts in the lane, so drive with caution.
Also, South 101 at Chular. One car in the center divide, the other on the shoulder. Highway Patrol is on scene and looks like tow trucks just arrived as well to clear out this crash. And Salinas Road at Warner Road. Watch out for an uncovered manhole in the lanes. Aches and pains keeping you up? Well, big news. New Advil PM is here. The multi-pain reliever power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're visiting with Ray McGovern.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble.
Ray McGovern's with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 27 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, and he knows what he speaks of when he challenges people like Donald Rumsfeld to tell the truth. And Ray, in the coverage of your exchange with Rumsfeld, to be fair, there were hecklers present who interrupted his speech. You were not among them, but the media just kind of compressed those details and came up with that label for you.
Right. There were three people who spoke out, talked about war crimes and lies. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman who stood the entire time with his back to Rumsfeld and a big thing in his lapel saying impeach. So there were other signs of disaffection, shall we say.
Right. And one of the things that frustrated me is that you were often trivialized or marginalized in the coverage, because they really didn't bother to recognize who you are and the experience that you have. You're not just some wacky protester. You are a man who served our government, who knows how things should work, and you're deeply distressed at the way things are being operated under this administration.
Yeah, it's a matter of personal outrage at the corruption of our profession of intelligence analysis, but it's also, and more important, a feeling that the country needs to repair this and repair it quickly before something really really bad happens, like war on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And so my colleagues and I and veteran intelligence professionals for sanity are going around the country and sometimes overseas just trying to spread a little truth around so that people can know what happened before Iraq. And, they can kind of think, well, fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, and we're being pretty naive.
Yeah.
So that's our objective right now. And I think those generals, the generals who spoke out against Rumsfeld, mm-hmm. or seven of them,
right.
I think that was their motivation as well, because they are deathly afraid that that this administration, this small group of folks called neocons will start this war, and there'll be no end to it. So,
Ray, we've been covering this extensively over the last few weeks, and a British newspaper reported 2 days ago that there are pretty detailed contingency plans in place that could be activated as soon as 2 to 3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're hearing as well?
That dovetails with what we're hearing, but you may be shocked to hear what I'm about to tell you.
All right.
There are, as Cy Hirsch suggested, special forces, U.S. special forces in Iran now,
mm-hmm.
And there are also U.S. Marines in Iran now. Now, I'm not divulging any classified information because the Iranians know that quite well, and those in Congress who are interested, and I'm sad to say this is a distinct minority, those in Congress, in the House and the Senate, who are interested, they also know this. And their question, of course, is, by what authority did you, Don Rumsfeld, send U.S. troops into a foreign country without so much as telling the elected representatives of the people?
Yeah. Ray, just to extend on that question, this is a critical point to me. I don't believe there's currently any authority for the president or the Pentagon to deploy anybody into Iraq, or even to use military air power to strike
Iran.
I meant Iran.
Yeah.
Even to use air power to strike them.
Right. Well, that's quite true, but, you know, those are looked on in the White House as sort of legal niceties. The thing is that Rumsfeld is saying that it's for force protection, you know. Now, I don't know what forces he's protecting by sending troops into Iran. I suppose he could stretch it and say, well, we're trying to prevent Iran from striking our troops in Iraq, but that's quite a stretch, isn't it?
It sure is.
So that's how he's justifying it. There's
if anything, the kind of action that is predicted would provoke retaliation by allies of Iran inside Iraq, the Shiites.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's no end to the mischief that Iran could do. First and foremost, of course, they have a terrorist worldwide network that puts al-Qaeda to shame. They do have the capability to sink ships in the Gulf or even to close down the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, they could send a couple of Revolutionary Guard divisions over the Yalu, so to speak, over the Iraqi border. And where are our guys? Well, they're out looking for terrorists, you know. They're not deployed to handle that kind of thing. And I guess just the thing that really bothers me about that is, were we to get into a set battle with these folks, they would outnumber us automatically, and the temptation would be there to use these mini nukes, these little nukes. And
that would send a powerful message, wouldn't it, that we'd use nukes to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear capability.
Yeah.
Dave and Eureka, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Ray McGovern.
Hi, Dave. Peter, Ray McGovern, thank you so much. I think you've set an example that might give some others the courage to confront these guys, and they certainly need to be confronted, and you did it, and you did it well. I commend you, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
Do you have a comment beyond that, Dave?
No, that was it.
Okay,
thank you.
Short and sweet.
Thank you for what you
Thank you very much. Ray, what's your take on General Hayden's confirmation hearings, and do you think they'll produce, A, either any move to reject his nomination, or, B, any significant disclosure to the American people about the details that are so far under wraps about the two portions of the NSA surveillance program we currently know a little about?
Well, Peter B., it's rather disheartening to talk about this. The Democrats on the Senate Intelligence Committee, well, let me put it this way. We were told that Jay Rockefeller, the ranking Democrat on that committee, was having back surgery. And I mean no offense to him, but all those Democrats should have a spine implant.
Good point.
You know,
and Jay Rockefeller could use it.
He sure could, yeah. And so that's what we're faced with. Now, what we have is the clearest example of a military officer who should be court-martialed rather than nominated to be head of the CIA. Let me explain.
This is 40 seconds, Ray. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, he's a fellow who, you know, swore to uphold and defend the Constitution. And the FISA law of 1978, which prohibits eavesdropping on Americans without a warrant, is part of the Constitution, part of the law of the land.
Yep.
And so when Cheney asked him to disregard that, he should have said, sir, I'm sworn to uphold the Constitution, and besides, I don't obey illegal orders, and he should have went back to NSA and quit. If instead of that, he got corrupted by this absolute power, did their bidding, and that's why, in their view, he's the quintessential candidate for this job, and he will be confirmed, and that's a real shame.
Ray McGovern, thanks again for your courage and for speaking up. Please, don't stop.
Thank you, Peter B.
All right. Coming up next, Steve Randall from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting on Friedman.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Every business wants more functionality, efficiency, and flexibility from their document imaging technology.
Sharp, multifunctional products with open systems architecture, MFPs, that do more than just copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp's open systems architecture seamlessly integrates the MFP with your business applications,
giving you a gateway to your network. From the convenience of the MFP's customizable LCD panel for fast, flexible access to documents from anywhere in the office.
Sharp MFPs also enable you to effectively track usage, eliminate repetitive tasks, and streamline workflow.
Sharp Document Imaging Technology.
Functionality, accessibility, efficiency.
Sharp MFPs, awarded most IT-friendly by leading industry analyst Buyers Lab.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that Hagen and the abortionists, the feminists, and the gays, and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where we feature the Free Speech Zone coming up about 30 minutes away. That's where we accept your calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, and from anywhere within the sound of my voice, including our listeners on the Central Coast at KRXA 540, on the North Coast at KGOE 1480, inland in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, and a little bit further inland, the all-new Progressive Talk Station in Phoenix, KPHX 1480. Wherever you are, I'm glad you're listening. And you can drop me a note, Peter, at peterbcollins.com next time you're so inclined. Joining me now is Steve Rendell from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. They're on the web at fair.org, and that's where we found this rather interesting analysis of New York Times columnist and best-selling author Thomas Friedman's statements over the last few years. Hello, Steve.
Hi, it's great to be on with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again, and thank you for your hard work there at FAIR. Now, if I were... who was that guy in the Washington Irving book who went to sleep for 20 years and then woke up? Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod Crane, yes.
If I were Ichabod Crane And I had picked up Monday's New York Times, featuring a Thomas Friedman op-ed, headlined, Saying No to Bush's Yes Men, as he really, you know, criticizes the administration for crony appointments, in particular Porter Goss and Dusty Fogo over at the CIA. If I were Ichabod Crane, I'd say, oh, wow, what a sharp critic of the Bush administration. I'll bet he's been all over their case since day one.
Yeah, you'd be guessing wrong.
Yeah.
Friedman is foremost a cheerleader for globalization. This is why he was elevated to the Times. The Times loves the Times, in spite of its liberal reputation, is really a very much a pro-business, pro-corporate publication. And
it is.
Friedman is one of its foremost spokespersons in favor of globalization and sort of corporate power around the world. He, in the wake of the attacks of 9/11, he became a very forceful voice against terrorism, as everybody should have been, I suppose, and a cheerleader for the Iraq War. He actually was for going to war in Iraq. Sometimes it's hard to tell that now.
And as you look back at his history, he was considered for a long time the American expert on the problems in the Middle East, Israel, Palestine in particular. And the book, I think, Road to Jerusalem, is that right?
From Beirut to Jerusalem.
Thank you.
That was
Beirut.
A 1989 book, and yeah. It wasn't a terrible book, I have to say. I don't think he was by any means the best reporter from that area. He was reporting then for the New York Times from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, he established, I think, a significant credibility as somebody who thoroughly understood those issues. And to me, that compounds the behavior over the last few years, because he seems to have lost his focus on Israel-Palestine's conflict, you know, that conflict as the center of so many issues in that region.
Well, I think he's also drifted to the right. I think he's been a lot more favorable to the Likud, which is the right-wing party, at least for the last 2.5 decades in Israel. I think back when he was a reporter in the 80s, he was, and up until about 1993 or 4, and that's when he became a foreign affairs columnist for the Times. I think he was a little more even-handed. I think now, even his analysis of the Middle East is it's a little bit more one-sided in favor of the right-wing tendencies within Israel.
Mm-hmm. And when Friedman appears in media, radio, and television around the country, every time I hear him, the deference accorded to him is almost embarrassing. Here on the West Coast in San Francisco, Ron Owens at KGO is a pretty centrist, Democrat-leaning kind of guy. But he puts Friedman on and just turns to mush. And
well,
Chris Matthews on MSNBC almost hurt himself bowing to Friedman on a recent episode.
Right. Well, actually, I grew up in the Bay Area, and I know Owens well, and I've actually heard Tom Friedman on that show, and it's universal among sort of centrist talk show hosts. Charlie Rose on PBS also treats Friedman with all sorts of deference. Friedman rarely appears with any other panelist. He's almost always one-on-one. When he was appearing at the appearance that you're talking about on MSNBC, Chris Matthews introduced him by saying, "You have a global brain, my friend. You're amazing. You amaze me every time you write a book." And I think on that, that was talking about his latest book, The World is Flat,
right.
which is a terrible metaphor, badly delivered. And I don't know if you've heard him. The one time that I heard him debate the issue on a show here in New York City on WNYC, which is the sort of NPR, the big NPR affiliate here,
right.
The Brian Lehrer show, a caller came in and got his goat, and Friedman really lost it and was actually had to be calmed down by Brian Lehrer, the host,
really?
Who was defending his caller and said, please don't talk to my callers like that. I think this may be one of the reasons that Friedman does not debate much, but also there's sort of a self-importance, a pompousness there that he really, that really, that sort of the seat of knowledge lies between his ears. And that's why we put this thing together, which was kind of funny. We thought, especially looking at predictions that Friedman has made about Iraq over the last 3 years.
Well, let's serve up a couple of samples from this analysis that's posted at fair.org, F-A-I-R.org. It's entitled Tom Friedman's Flexible Deadlines. Subtitled, Iraq's Decisive 6 months Have Lasted 2.5 Years. Yeah, there are times when it seems like he was getting his talking points from Dick Cheney.
Right. Well, on that same appearance where he got that effusive, well, actually, no, it wasn't on the same appearance, but on another recent appearance with Chris Matthews on MSNBC's Hardball show, Friedman said in talking about the prospects in Iraq, he said, quote, "Well, I think that we're going to find out, Chris, in the next year to 6 months, probably sooner, whether a decent outcome is possible there. And I think we're going to have to just let this play out." Well, that's
last week.
Yeah, that was just a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Back in November of 2003, not quite, about 2.5 years ago, he said, quote, "In the next 6 months in Iraq, which will determine the prospects for democracy building there, are the most important 6 months in U.S. foreign policy in a long time," close quote. And the way we put this thing together, we started back then, and we came up to now. And I just love these ones where he says, this is back almost a year ago in 2005. He said, "I think we're in the end game now. I think we're in a six-month window here where it's going to become very clear, and this is all going to be preempt, I think, the next congressional election." That's my own feeling. And then skip forward to, again, just 3 months ago, "I think we're in the end game. The next 6 months to 9 months are going to tell whether we can produce a decent outcome in Iraq." Time and again, he gives a 6 to 9 month or roughly 6 month prediction about how long it's going to take to straighten things out in Iraq. And nobody ever calls him on it.
Are you sure we're not hearing a virtual Tom Friedman and these are just phrases that have been stored in a computer somewhere?
Maybe he doesn't even exist. Yes. No, I think this is not a big surprise to us. When we, you know, when actually it was Peter Hart who appears on your show quite often, I know. Peter heard, saw that that latest appearance on the Chris Matthews show and said, "You know, I think he said stuff like that before. Let's go check it out." So
yeah.
I went and found five immediately. Another guy here, Jim Narikas, found 7 or 8 more, and I had an intern working on it where he found some more. So it was just it's just very funny to see this guy who is at least touted by his media colleagues as a big brain and this guy that's constantly innovative and constantly on the cutting edge of sort of geopolitical thinking. I don't know if that high assessment that they have with him, I don't know if that says more about Tom Friedman or it says more about our press corps that idealizes him so much. But anyway, we thought it was a funny thing to put together and show that he'd been making the same six-month prediction for things working out in Iraq for 2.5 years.
And here are just a couple more, because I can't resist, Steve. Face the Nation on CBS, October 3rd of 2004. "What we're going to find out, Bob, in the next 6 to 9 months is whether we have liberated a country or uncorked a civil war." New York Times, September 28th, 2005. "Maybe the cynical Europeans were right. Maybe this neighborhood is just beyond transformation. That will become clear in the next few months as we see just what kind of minority the Sunnis in Iraq intend to be." And there are other examples here. What is the total count of these predictions?
I haven't counted them. I think there's about 10 or 11 here, I think. But I haven't actually got down to counting them.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting, and we're going to continue in just a moment with Steve Rendell from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting on the web, fair.org. Check them out, and you can see this analysis for yourself, and it might change the way you think about Thomas Friedman. If you have a question or comment, Steve Rendell's with us for another segment. Get on the line now, Central Coast 831-899-5792, or toll-free. Even if you're at the NSA, you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. 16 minutes before the hour, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th Annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's time for traffic.
What was that?
That was my theme music for the next segment. Here's Amy Knight at Metro Traffic.
Goodness.
That's Peter
like...
B. asleep at the wheel.
Wake up, Peter, wake up. Yes, this will wake you up. A chihuahua running in the lanes and a woman out of a car chasing after the dog. South 101 after Oak Avenue in Greenfield, so drive with caution. Also,
that's not a chihuahua, is it?
Not that one. North 101 at Rocks Road, there's reports of a grass fire in the center divide, and Highway 152 at Casa de Fruta, a vehicle pulling a horse trailer in the gravel. Looks like that off to the side there on fire. Crews on the way. Heavy traffic right now on Highway 68 coming out of Monterey towards Salinas. We have road work between 218 and Ragsdale, but getting reports of heavy traffic.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I just woke up from my afternoon nap. This is a bit of an inside joke for our listeners on the Central Coast. We have traffic reports on KRXA that are not heard in the other stations that carry our program. And I forgot and went blistering into our music here, that, by the way, is by Sir Bob Geldof and the Boomtown Rats. And it reminded me of Bush's speech the other night, the immigration reform speech that he gave on Monday. Somebody gave him a cue too early. And he started his speech, and we carried it live here on the program. And then after about 15 seconds, somebody waved him off, and he just stopped in mid-sentence and then abruptly restarted about a minute later. So everybody gets a take two, even W. We're talking with Steve Rendell from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Again, their website is fair.org. Just a quick question, Steve. You got any inside scoop on where Jimmy Hoffa's buried?
No, I was watching that story with interest today, though, as it unfolded on cable news. I hear they're going back. They didn't find anything yet, but they're going back.
Well, I'd like Nancy Grace just to go and cover that story and stay there. Anything to shut her up.
You know, I forgot to mention on this Tom Friedman story that apparently some right-wingers are getting a kick out of this thing that we've sent around, too, because late today the New York Post called. The New York Post is the Murdoch-owned right-wing daily here in New York City.
I actually have a collector's item copy of the New York Post on the day that they named Dick Gephardt as John Kerry's running mate.
Oh, yes. That's going to be one, like the Dewey wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, they called to ask if they could run our, what we call it, a media advisory, our Tom Friedman's flexible deadlines media advisory on the editorial page as an editorial tomorrow.
Yeah.
Identifying it as being from us. I think their motivation is that they see, you know, any chance to take a to take a stab at the New York Times, the liberal New York Times, in their view.
You bet, because they've already sent big dogs just to pee on the side of the building and not much happened.
That's right. That's right.
Jake in Arcata, join us. Peter B. and Steve Rendell.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Steve. I'd just like to give you guys my impression of Thomas Friedman after having read his columns for a few years now. I haven't read any of his books. You know, I don't have the stomach to go through all those moronic metaphors he uses. But I got to tell you, you know, he's not a terrible writer, but he's not very good. And I think Thomas Friedman is a perfect example of why the New York Times lost so much respect amongst the public. I mean, their standards have obviously been lowered. I mean, look at Judith Miller. And, you know, all these predictions that Thomas Friedman likes to make, I mean, the guy's less accurate than the McLaughlin group. You know, how is it he keeps getting put up as some authority? You know, if I want to read an authority on the Middle East, I read somebody like Robert Fisk from The Independent out of the UK. You know, Thomas Friedman is not an authority. The guy just sticks his finger in the wind and just, you know, watches to see which way the wind blows, basically, as far as I can tell.
He is a best-selling author who has a large travel expense account at the Times.
That's right. You know, I'm glad that he mentioned the metaphors. Some of you might be familiar with the national NBC, their correspondent named Mike Taibbi.
Yeah.
Well, his son, Matthew Taibbi, is a very funny and very good writer, very, very sarcastic. And he wrote, you can find on the internet some of the essays that he's dedicated to the mixed metaphor madness of Tom Friedman, and they're just hilarious dissections of Friedman's mixed metaphors and rants, really, against Friedman, but very, very informed rants. One of the things that we've called Friedman on the carpet for since 9/11 is the fact that after the London bombings in July of 2005, Friedman published a column that was just outrageous, where he called on the State Department to begin sort of putting together a Red Channel sort of dossier. He called it a War of Ideas report that would spotlight religious leaders and writers advocating violence. That's one thing, but also he would also have them have dossiers on anyone who suggests that imperialism, Zionism, colonialism, or war explains why terrorism happens. So this would basically entail the U.S. government collecting information on anybody who thinks that the war is a bad idea and it's actually generating terrorism. And, well, you know, come to think of it, they are doing that.
Yeah.
So they're following Tom Friedman's advice, but it's radical advice, and it's not the advice of somebody who's an even-tempered sage. And I think the caller makes another great point, and I think something happened just recently that explains it. He mentioned Judith Miller and Thomas Friedman in the same breath. These were both pet reporters of A.M. Rosenthal, who just died and served for about 10 years as the executive editor of the Times in the 70s and into the 80s. He's a very conservative executive editor, and he pushed stories that served the State Department and the White House's agenda. He killed stories that detracted from them, and he groomed a whole little army of favorites at the New York Times, like Thomas Friedman and Judy Miller. So I think your caller's right in making that connection between those two. I think they are related.
Well, Jake is unusually bright. Go ahead, Mr. Unusually Bright.
Thanks, Peter. That's a compliment. I gotta tell you, I do appreciate the guest being on. I hope he'll be on again soon, because, you know, we need to expose some of these blowhards and buffoons in the media, people like Friedman and Chris Matthews. These guys get way too much respect and airtime. You know, they don't deserve it in the first place.
There's a great Chris Matthews section at MediaMatters.org. You could enjoy yourself for an hour or two going through the clips. Jake, thanks for your call today. And mentioning Judy Miller, tomorrow on our program, Rory O'Connor from Global Vision, MediaChannel.org, will join us tomorrow. And he helped break this story that Judith Miller now says that she had sources that gave her a heads up about 9/11. So we'll delve into that a little bit more tomorrow. And, Steve, this is coming as a serious question. We've been having a little fun here, and I just want to let you know this is not tongue-in-cheek. We, you know, now see the extent to which Judith Miller was unofficially embedded with the White House. She certainly was embedded when she went to Iraq and erroneously reported about WMD. And to what extent do you think that Tom Friedman has similar relationships with high-powered individuals in this administration?
Well, if you'll recall, anybody who's I shouldn't presume that people that live on the West Coast were regular readers of the New York Times in the 80s and 90s, but Friedman covered George H.W. Bush's Secretary of State, James Baker. He was the State Department reporter when James Baker was in. I imagine he has a lot of close connections in the current Bush White House. You know, whenever they get in trouble, or often when they get in trouble, they still call for James Baker to come help bail them out.
Sure. He's heading up a new commission with Leon Panetta to develop new plans for Iraq that will be ignored.
Yes, and he was never a real tough reporter when he was covering the State Department. He did his best work, as you pointed out. He did his best work when he was covering Israel and Palestine and the Middle East conflict. And incidentally, Lebanon was happening then too, and he did some good reporting from there.
I agree.
But I'd say that he probably has a lot of connections here. I don't think he's quite the water carrier that Judith Miller is. I think Judith Miller is just in a class by herself, and that's why the Times really needed to make a clean breast, I mean, much earlier than they did. And even when they did, there's sort of mea culpa that they did. They didn't even name her. They named 8 or 9 stories that they said were faulty. Mm-hmm. Her name was her byline was on 6 of those. On some of those, she shared a byline, but she was on 6 of them out of 9. So she was very crucial. She was crucial. It can be said about Judith Miller that she was crucial in taking this country to war because she was doing the most crucial reporting at the most important media outlet in the country, mm-hmm. pushing the country to war.
And when she went to jail 85 days, allegedly standing up for the First Amendment, I'm still a little puzzled by all that, the way the newspaper backed her and really prevented its reporters from doing full-bore investigations of Miller's role in the CIA leak and the investigation that followed. And it still, you know, leaves a bad taste in my mouth because it appears that she went to jail not for the First Amendment, but to try to protect Scooter Libby.
That's right. And, you know, I have to say that a lot of people, that Fair was alone. Well, Fair had very few allies in this. Even the California Society for Professional Journalists spoke out against our position. Only editor and publisher magazine and Greg Mitchell there sort of stood with Fair. We said, yes, a reporter has got to stand by and protect sources when those sources are whistleblowers, when those sources are leaking information to protect the public interest. In this case of Scooter Libby, or whoever it was that was leaking information to her, we know at least Scooter Libby did, they were not trying to serve the public interest. They were leaking information to try to punish a government critic, Joe Wilson, and through his wife. And by doing that, they were actually trying to silence him. So by supporting, we were absolutely astonished when the National Society for Professional Journalism gave Judy Miller its First Amendment Award, because we said basically that she was protecting somebody who was trying to silence a government critic.
And Steve, we're out of time, but at minimum, her interests paralleled those of the White House. She was trying to protect her credibility for carrying water for them the year before. Steve, we're out of time, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Keep up the good work at FAIR.
Thanks, Peter.
And read the Friedman piece on the homepage at FAIR.org.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Do you struggle when it comes to teaching your child about the family rules? It's essential to learn to set limits when your children are young, and for parents to mean what they say and say what they mean. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me Sunday to discuss love with limits.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Aha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milligano. 70% of cervical cancer is believed caused by a virus. Today, CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Caledon says an FDA advisory panel endorsed the vaccine to kill the virus. To kill the cancer.
There aren't many true breakthroughs in the world of cancer, but doctors say this is one. An FDA panel's unanimous support of the cervical cancer vaccine known as Gardasil means it will soon be on the market, with the power to prevent 70% of cervical cancer cases worldwide, saving 3,500 lives in the United States alone.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato says the news today on Merck & Company's vaccine was tempered a bit by a report Merck & Company's now off-the-market Vioxx may not only put you at a risk of stroke while taking it, but long after you've stopped.
New data raise concerns that Vioxx may cause long-term, even permanent cardiovascular damage. Wake Forest Professor Kurt Furberg, a member of an FDA drug safety panel, disputes an earlier New England Journal of Medicine report.
The authors reported a number of events that happened when patients were taking drugs and up to 2 weeks after they stopped. That is not the way we do it in science.
Looking beyond 2 weeks to a full year, he finds a disturbing number of strokes among former Vioxx users. Patients on placebo suffered none. He suspects the effects are similar for this entire class of pain and inflammation drugs known as COX-2 inhibitors. Vioxx was removed from the market in 2004. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
He disappeared back in 1975. Jimmy Hoffa. His body rumored to be everywhere from the cement of Giant Stadium in New Jersey to the Florida Everglades. How about a horse farm outside of Detroit? CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi says that's where the FBI's been digging today.
You can actually see a fresh pile of dirt that earlier they had some police tape around. And I was talking to neighbors out here. They told me this old horse farm is a place where mobsters used to come and have lunch, an out-of-the-way spot. They say after Jimmy Hoffa disappeared, the lunch has stopped, and they saw a backhoe show up on the property.
An informant is said to have led the FBI to the horse farm as the final resting place of the former Teamsters boss. He wants to get the CIA out of the news business, both leaking news and being the subject of news. And General Michael Hayden says if his military uniform gets in the way of running the civilian CIA, he'll make the right decision.
I believe that the American intelligence business has too much become the football in American political discourse.
During today's Senate confirmation session, Hayden also said spying on Iran and its nuclear ambitions present tougher challenges than Iraq ever did. Wall Street extended its losses today, a day after an inflation scare sent the Dow Industrial Average on its biggest one-day drop in 3 years and put the NASDAQ Composite Index in the red for 2006. The Dow closed the day down 77, the NASDAQ off 15.5. This is CBS News.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
There is no doubt a T-Mobile Motorola Razr V3 phone would make a mind-blowingly cool graduation gift. Well, brace yourself, because right now with activation at CompUSA, you can get it for free. Or pick up a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera and get a $50 instant savings. All kinds of phenomenal graduation deals are good through this Saturday, so hightail it to CompUSA. We got it, we get it.
Prices vary in Connecticut. Required new in-store activation or qualified upgrade on a rate plan $39.99 or higher. See store for details.
You see the ads all over California. You vote yes, vote no on 82. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitney says it's a controversial proposal up for the vote. Californians vote next month on Proposition 82, which would create a universal preschool program by taxing people with incomes over $400,000 a year. Steve Barnett of the National Institute for Early Education Research says it's an investment.
It is a substantial improvement in terms of standards and funding, and would be likely to pay back the people of California more than the program costs in the long term.
Currently, about two-thirds of California four-year-olds are in a preschool program.
Days of constant rain and flooding in New England have given way to dusk-to-dawn curfews. Case in point is the hard-hit city of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Continues drying out from this week's floods. Restrictions will be in effect in certain parts of town between 9 in the evening and 6 in the morning over the next 3 days. I'm Lou Melligano, CBS News.
There is no doubt a T-Mobile Motorola Razr V3 phone would make a mind-blowingly cool graduation gift. Well, brace yourself, because right now with activation at CompUSA, you could get it for free. Or pick up a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera and get a $50 instant savings. All kinds of phenomenal graduation deals are good through this Saturday, so hightail it to CompUSA. We got it, we get it.
Prices vary in Connecticut. Required new in-store activation or qualified upgrade on rate plan $39.99 or higher. See store for details.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Welcome to the third hour of today's Peter B. Collins Show, which we officially proclaim the Free Speech Zone. Use it while the First Amendment is still in full effect, and be aware that your calls may be monitored for quality control. And this hour, we dedicate the program to the late, great Jimmy Hoffa, the head of the Teamsters Union. Where is that body, Jimmy?
You're in my body, Lord, I don't care where. You're in my body, Lord, I don't care where. You're in my body, cause my soul is gonna live with God.
Yes, one day in Detroit, Jimmy Hoffa went out to lunch, and he did not return. The largest urban legend to date is that his remains were buried in concrete at the Meadowlands in New Jersey, just across the river from New York, as that stadium was under construction at the time.
Lead me to the golden stand. If my wings should fail me, won't you provide me with another path? Oh, Lord, I don't care where.
And the search for Jimmy Hoffa continues. They've done some excavation in Detroit and not come up with anything substantive, but I guess they'll keep digging. And it gave me an excuse to pull out one of my favorite songs from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives. It's called Bury My Body. It's an old New Orleans funeral spiritual song. And this rendition was done by Al Cooper in a super session with a young phenom named Shuggie Otis way back in 1960-something. And there are other things we can discuss. My lines are open for you right now. Maybe you want to talk about Tom Friedman, any of the other issues that we talked about today, the courageous Ray McGovern who stood up to Donald Rumsfeld 2 weeks ago in Atlanta and today went to Rummy's house, led a march there in Washington, D.C., and delivered some petitions inviting him to resign as defense secretary. And anything else that you'd care to discuss, including the hearings on the Hill today regarding General Hayden's confirmation to the Central Intelligence Agency post, that's all fair game. Lines open. In fact, the entire switchboard is available at this very moment. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. That's 831-899-KRXA. And you can call me toll-free from elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540, and your calls are welcome here this hour on the program. I want to thank a bunch of people who've emailed over the last couple of hours. Kevin, with a comment on Tom Friedman, he says, all that being what it may, Friedman wrote a half dozen of the very best and most passionate anti-Bush, pro-Kerry editorials leading up to the 2004 election. Whatever criticisms you guys have of his mixed metaphors, nobody ripped Bush to shreds more eloquently and passionately than Friedman, so I doubt that he has too many friends in the administration. So I think that was, that's a fair comment, and I thank you for that. Also, both Eric in San Francisco and my old friend, the mail carrier, I think he's retired now, in Daly City, sent me a note, Bob Miller, regarding a mention earlier today that on the Tom Hartman program, which is heard on many of these same stations, there was a caller who suggested a meeting took place between disgraced and convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff and Mohammed Atta in Florida in the period before 9/11. And both email correspondents refer me to the program. Let's see. It's a book, Welcome to Terrorland, and it's the result of a work by journalist and film producer Daniel Hopsicker. I have not seen this, but it appears to be a very interesting piece, and it details some of the activities of Mohammed Atta in Florida, including the strip clubs he went to as a devout Muslim and a few other very questionable connections as well. So I thank you for passing along that information. Two items I want to throw in the mix here before we go to your calls. Item one, with some fanfare, President Bush entered the fray over immigration reform with his speech this past Monday. And he introduced a new acronym, SBI, not to be confused with FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, also known as Star Wars. SB as in Bubba, I, is the Secure Border Initiative. And this is his overarching plan, the photo op that will last for a couple of years of National Guard troops deployed at the border, but not actually patrolling the border. They will be deployed behind the border patrol in, as I say, an extensive photo op. Ah, but it didn't take long for the military-industrial complex to sniff another chance for record profits, because the Department of Homeland Security will soon accept bids for a border control system that will use existing and new technologies in a single integrated system. Who's bidding? Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and Ericsson. And I've scoured the article so far, no mention of Halliburton, Bechtel, or the Halliburton subsidiary, KBR. But it's just beginning, so I'm sure they'll submit a bid very soon. Oh, I forgot, Halliburton only does no-bid deals. Excuse me. Maybe they won't. One other item and some personal disclosure to follow. Today's Modesto B shocked a number of people who are watching a critical congressional race that will be determined on June 6th in the California primary. That's a race pitting incumbent Richard Pombo against Pete McCloskey. And the bee really blew it. I mean, this bee is in the wrong hive. With his close ties to disgraced Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay, contributions from clients of admitted criminal Jack Abramoff, and his off-the-wall plan to sell national parks, Richard Pombo looks to be ripe for defeat in the 11th Congressional District. And the Modesto B goes on, we don't think so, not this time. None of Pombo's problems will matter to the majority of Republican voters in a district that includes most of San Joaquin and parts of Contra Costa, Alameda, and Santa Clara counties. In this primary, the district's Republican voters are unlikely to vote against their seven-term representative. After all, he is the same big business-friendly, hardball-playing, conservative Republican they've been electing since 92. As a protege of DeLay, Pombo was elevated over more senior members to the chair of the House Resources Committee. From that position, he has forged a Valley coalition that includes Democrats and Republicans. While we often disagree with the direction he has taken, he has been effective in many ways. Yeah, like in propping up the sweatshops in the Mariana Islands that were repped by Jack Abramoff and supported by Tom DeLay. But I digress. A little more from this editorial. In the primary, Republicans must choose between Pombo and 78-year-old renegade Pete McCloskey. It is highly unlikely they will pick McCloskey over their homegrown congressman, and we don't think they should. Angry over Pombo's attacks on the Endangered Species Act, of which McCloskey was co-author, Pombo's opponent, moved into the district last year to give GOP voters an alternative. This has provided a loud and healthy airing of issues and a real campaign instead of the pro forma exercise Pombo usually goes through. We admire McCloskey's quixotic quest, but we doubt that the district's Republicans are interested in an alternative. Now, this is shameful, because an editorial should lead the public, not follow. And to acknowledge the questionable behavior, the ethical behavior of this DeLay protege, Richard Pombo, and then say, go ahead and re-elect him. It's just shameful. It really is. And now the disclosure. I've known Pete McCloskey for 20 years. When he ran for president, I switched and registered as a Republican so I could vote for him. And likewise, when he ran for the United States Senate in 1982. He and I are not close friends, but I fully support his quest. And I have signed on to the campaign as a consultant. I'm handling the radio aspects of the media campaign for McCloskey for Congress. You should know that because it probably does color my opinion of this race. But you are not likewise subject to any conflict of interest, and you're fair. It's fair game for you to tell me what you think of Richard Pombo and if this Modesto B editorial makes any sense to you whatsoever. It seems like Modesto BS to me. But I got a dog in the hunt. I acknowledge that. So if you'd like to comment, I'd like to hear from you. Our lines are open for this hour in the Free Speech Zone. You know the numbers on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. You can also call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we'll continue in a moment right here. We'll go straight to your calls on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet some of the top real estate agents here in the Bay Area. You'll learn about where the best open houses are this Sunday. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. Your number one source for all your real estate needs heard all over Northern California. To be a guest on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate. You can also listen online at www.rockrollinrealestate.com.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540, with a look at your traffic on the ride home. 519, here's Amy Knight.
Two separate accidents in Monterey, northbound one at Camino Aguajito. You'll find the left lane block there. Also due to some earlier road work, E68 still slow from Ragsdale all the way out past the Laurelis grade. North 101 at Rax Road, a grass fire earlier, now out. Fire crews still mopping up. And Casterly at Willock, an accident involving a bus and a car blocking the roadway. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN and get your free inspection today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
And thank you very much, Amy.
You're welcome.
Coming up right after 6 o'clock, it's Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks. He takes a look at the issues between church and state and looks for places where separation is missing. Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks right after 6 o'clock on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking the nation from the left coast. I originate from San Francisco, and we are live on KRXA in Monterey, KGOE in Eureka, and our program's now heard in Sacramento on KSAC 1240 Talk City, and in Phoenix on 1480 KPHX. I'm glad you're listening. Got a lot of callers on the line, so let's get right to it. And callers, if I can ask you just to make your point and let me go zipping through. We've got a lot of people who want to talk today. First up, John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Peter, Thomas Friedman was on NPR not too long ago and talked at length about how he was very disenchanted with the whole Bush administration about doing anything about gas prices and our dependence on foreign oil, and he thought then that was our biggest problem of the moment, and he recommended that we get the price to $4 a gallon, and if I got it right, because I had some interruptions, but if I got it right, he wanted the price brought up to $4 right away by taxing. It to that level, because he insisted, and I think rightly, that if it didn't get to that point and stay there, the American public would continue to drift and do nothing about these high prices or our dependence as well. But then he said he was a firm believer, and I already knew this, in market economics, laissez-faire economics. So I wondered to myself, how could we do any of this if we stayed so fixed to letting things just drift, which is what laissez-faire economics is?
Well, and it's interesting, John, because on this issue, the price of gasoline, there's an interesting convergence of the limousine left and the limousine right. And these are people who may have a Prius and may be doing their part to lower their consumption of gasoline products. But they argue that until it hits $4, $5, $6 a gallon, people won't get serious about reducing their consumption. And on a certain level, I understand that. But I really am in touch with the needs of average people, or at least I try to be. And I worry about the folks who can't afford to buy a new Prius, who are driving a 10-year-old, even an Explorer or a pickup truck that only gets 15, 18 miles to the gallon. And they need their vehicles to get to work. I know a lot of people who, on the Central Coast, live in the King City area and commute to Salinas or Monterey to work. And the, you know, spike in the price of gas already has pinched those people. And if they're living, you know, with modest wages, there are people who are borrowing money in order to be able to fill up their vehicles every week.
All right.
So I think we have to, you know, if we're going to do some social engineering here, there has to be a clear offset, and not a lousy $100 check from Bill Frist, but a real offset so that people who are hit the hardest by this increase in gas prices get some relief either through the earned income tax credit or some other mechanism.
Yes, I agree. I wouldn't for their sake and for other reasons, because it would probably cause real inflation. I mean, look at the inflation we experienced in the 70s. But this is what's so strange, is that nothing we've ever gone through, because look how different it was in the 70s. Not only were we paying big increases, at least they were big then, we were waiting in long lines, something that hasn't happened recently despite the big price increases. All of these times, if you counted it up the times we have gone through these ups and downs and the vagaries of that whole oil thing, the fact that we've done nothing, and he was saying nothing, he was dead right there. We haven't done anything really about this problem for essentially 30 years.
Well, and what we have done is permitted the big oil companies to consolidate and to consolidate their control over the refining process. John, there is no current shortage of crude oil in the world. And what they're doing is artificially controlling refinery capacity, sometimes by voluntarily shutting them down for maintenance or that sort of thing. And, you know, they blame environmentalists for the fact that no new refineries have been built. I don't buy that. I think the real reason is they want to reduce the refining capacity to the point where they can carefully control the availability of gasoline, and that's what influences the price and allows them to extract these record profits. Thanks a lot for your call,
okay.
John. I got to move along here. Right. We've got Ed in Aptos next. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Greetings.
Hi.
You probably don't get up early enough to listen to Bill Press, but a couple of days ago, as the just after the pictures were brought out of the Pentagon releasing
right.
their pictures,
yeah.
he said, his parting shot, I guess the last thing he has on his program, his parting shot, this should put the rest of these conspiracy theory wackos.
I like Bill Press. I often agree with him. This is not one of those times.
Exactly. He was, and then later on in the evening, Lionel came on, he says, we should be asking questions. I mean, are you a conspiracy theorist if you ask questions and bring up questions? Like, why is there only a 65-foot hole in the Pentagon?
That's not 65. It's like 35.
Whatever. Just picking that out of thin air.
Okay, James just corrected me. He says it's 16.
Yeah, 16.
Whatever it is, it's not big enough to accommodate a 757
exactly.
and allow it to disappear within the two or three jump frames that we saw.
On the other hand, I heard somebody call in. Maybe it was Ted Schultz, and she had said she was a witness and saw the plane. You know, she was on the freeway or something and saw the plane fly in.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would. At the speed and everything, I'd rather have a more qualified observer than just a member of the general public.
Well, and Ed, what we know is that the Pentagon has heavy coverage by surveillance cameras. There is the gas station across the road.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Sheraton. There's the
That's
Virginia Department of Transportation camera. All those videos were picked up by the FBI, and they claim they no longer exist. And then they release these photos, and people credulously tell us, "Oh, this proves it." It didn't prove anything. It made the questions more glaring.
I know, and maybe that's the whole thing. Is they just want to? It's a diversion. You know, it's a magician's diversion. They got so many problems that they're muddying the waters with this. I don't know. Maybe that's a conspiracy theory.
Well, you're welcome to it. David Ray Griffin was on our show yesterday, and in a previous visit with us, he made the point that when people call him a conspiracy theorist, he retorts, no, I'm trying. We've been fed a conspiracy theory. The official story is a conspiracy theory. I'm trying to get to the accurate conspiracy theory. I'm not dreaming this stuff up on my own.
And further along in the thing is, question has never been answered is why the White House fought so strenuously not to have the investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to run here, Ed. Thanks a lot for your call today.
One more thing.
No, I don't have time. I'm sorry. We're going to get cut off just like a train coming through.
Okay. Bye.
More of your calls coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet radio show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This just into the Peter B. Collins Show. The coalition of the billing lost another one. Italy is pulling out. They're taking their olive oil and good vino and heading home. It's Neil Young from the new CD called Living with War, and that's the track called Let's Impeach the President. We'll dedicate this one to General Michael Hayden, who went up and with a relatively straight face told the Senate Intelligence Committee that everything the NSA has done is lawful. And Neil Young's lyrics read, "Let's impeach the president for spying on citizens inside their own homes, breaking every law in the country, tapping our computers and telephones." Neil Young's the minstrel of the Santa Cruz Mountains. He makes music right in our backyard here, and I'm proud to have that Canadian import on our side. More of your calls now in the Free Speech Zone. There's one line available if you want to join us. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. Carl in Fortuna, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Peter, for having me. I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to let people know I'm a Vietnam vet myself and a military retiree. And
I got your emails. Thank you very much.
Excellent. I'm just really, really concerned about what the House Veterans Affairs Committee is doing under the chairmanship of Congressman Beyer. And the president authorized by charter a veterans commission to look at all the veterans benefits that are out there. And one of their first strokes was to look at veterans that are receiving VA compensation and those that happen to be receiving Social Security SSDI benefits, for the idea of saving some money and offsetting the benefits dollar for dollar. And they've also expressed a lot of concern about the number of veterans that are receiving VA compensation for post-traumatic stress syndrome, and I just can't understand why so many veterans might have that problem when you think about how many were sending back from Iraq and Afghanistan with diagnosed problems, with no medical follow-up, and also the large number of Vietnam veterans decades afterwards and are currently filing for benefits. And it seems like we have the president on one end saying, hey, let's support our troops, and on the other end there, let's see how we can screw these guys as much as possible.
Yeah, the rhetoric does not match the policy. That is very clear. And, Carl, first of all, I just want to thank you for your service. I did not fight in Vietnam, and I'm grateful to those of you who answered the call or responded to the draft, whatever manner took you there. And we owe you, Carl. Those of us who, you know, people who served and people like me who did not, collectively, we owe you. And it is shameful to see this administration try to whittle down or renege on the rather minimal benefits promised to our veterans who have served and put their lives on the line. And it is especially, just off the charts that this president, who dodged the Vietnam War by entering the National Guard, sent so many Guard and Reserve troops to Iraq, and we've suffered significant casualties there, many wounded who've come home, and that's not to give short shrift to the regular service members of the Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force. But we have a situation where we're not honoring our veterans by providing the basic health care services that they deserve, including PTSD. That's a very significant issue. We have a lot of unexplored issues related to the use of depleted uranium in Iraq and also in Desert Storm. And these legacies are things that we as a nation have to shoulder, and I do it gladly. But we see a president who tells you one story, and his actions speak volumes for the true intentions of this administration.
I want to thank you very much for the thanks. As you know, a lot of us did not get very much of a thanks when we did get back from Vietnam, and a lot of us have had some very, very major adjustment problems, which is definitely reflected by the large number of homeless veterans that we have throughout the United States, now estimated at about 190,000. Where we have up to 500,000 experiencing homelessness throughout the year. We have a real problem with this president. He brought us to war. A lot of us supported him because we thought it was the right thing to do. Our veterans population, our families, were lied to. We were told that we would be provided with adequate medical care. Individuals are waiting 3 to 6 months for care if they're lucky. We had a whole group of veterans that were completely excluded from any medical care. due to their income situation about 3 years ago under Secretary Pinsepi at that time. And it just goes on and on. And I'm just hopeful that the American people, because I know the will of the American people is to support their veterans, get up to speed on what's going on with the House Senate Affairs or the House Veterans Affairs Committee.
And Carl, we need to make the point that the California primary is just a couple of weeks away. And given the way things work, that incumbents are largely returned to office if they run for re-election, that the redistricting favors those who are already in office, if you feel strongly that your member of Congress has not supported veterans' issues appropriately, you've got to get active and work for his or her opponent, because this is the only shot you get. The people who win the primary will almost 100% be assured of winning in the general election this November. So if you've got somebody who has disappointed you or provided a disservice to veterans, single them out, spread the word, and work to defeat them. There's just a few weeks left. Carl, I got to run to another call, but I want to thank you. Please stay in touch with us. And there is one rule here at the Peter B. Collins Show. It is not necessary to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call. I thank you for calling and waiting on hold and expressing yourself.
Have a nice day, sir.
All right, take care. John is next on line one. Hello, John. You're on the air. Oh, it's Andy now in Monterey. Okay, Andy, your turn.
Hey, Peter. How are you today?
Doing fine, thanks.
I was going to see if you heard anything about the Sensenbrenner responses to the, you know, all the his you know, kind of right supremacist allegations about all the laws he was trying to get passed. They were actually proposed by the Bush administration.
Tell me specifically, are you referring to the Patriot Act, or are you talking about the immigration
The new Immigration Act, yeah. Uh-huh. The one where the felons, you know, everybody is a felon if you're an immigrant. And they were all requested by the Bush administration prior to any of that, months before. And Sensenbrenner lashed out today at the Bush administration. I was going to see if anybody heard about that.
No, not so far. I'll tell you, I watched the Hayden hearings this morning. And then I was, in meetings and working until showtime, so I'm not aware of that development.
And now you're probably intrigued by the Muhammad Atta thing and the Abramoff.
Yes.
I am, too.
Yes, I am. You know, it's interesting because I would define myself as a news junkie. I love it. I live for it. And it's really hard even to take a couple of hours off,
yes.
You know, and get my job done. So
I will
be catching up on those issues tonight. But anybody who knows about the Sensenbrenner outburst, please give me a call. The one I know about is there was a sharp exchange between Senator Russ Feingold and Arlen Specter, the Pennsylvania Republican who chairs the Judiciary Committee. And Feingold and I guess the chairman, Mr. Specter, moved a meeting into a room where the public is not permitted. And Feingold objected to it, and the two kind of lectured each other for a couple of minutes in public. And then Specter reportedly said, if you don't want to attend the hearing, good riddance. And Feingold said, thank you for your lecture. See ya. So the collegiality on Capitol Hill is fraying now.
Let's applaud Feingold. And another thing I'd like to say is I didn't call earlier, but I'd like to really thank Ray McGovern for what he did. He is, in my dad's words, he's a damn American. And that's it.
All right, Andy, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, lines are open for the rest of this hour. It's the Free Speech Zone, and there's room for your call. It'll be quick if you jump on hold right now. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You got it? 888-579-2540. And if you're a first-time caller, go ahead. Push the button. Send. I'd love to talk with you. More of your calls in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us. Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, Reality Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Do you struggle when it comes to teaching your child about the family rules? It's essential to learn to set limits when your children are young and for parents to mean what they say and say what they mean. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me Sunday to discuss love with limits.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic one more time this afternoon. It's 546, and here's Amy Knight.
It's still busy out there, Peter, and Aptos, northbound 1 before Soquel Drive. A two-car crash blocks the left lane. Better news from Monterey, northbound 1 at Aguajito. Two separate accidents moved out of the roadway. Also, Holman Highway at Scenic Drive, a van and a motorcycle blocking lanes. And 68 still heavy eastbound Ragsdale as you make your way toward the Lorelis grade. Well, this report brought to you by Sleep Train. You'll sleep free for at least a year on approved credit. There's no down payment, no monthly payment, and no interest for 12 full months. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep. And make sure you get lots of sleep tonight, Peter. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
I promise, no naps tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on KRXA 540. This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show brought to you by the fine folks at Naked Airlines.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer. Naked Airlines. No carry-ons, no clothing, no laptops. Well, laptops.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection, no clothing, directions from the nude flight attendant, a guy.
Damn.
Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer. Naked Airlines. Well, we're all in this together and dressed in the all together. Managed safely to arrive. It's been a long, strange trip, 'cause we had to strip. But hey, we're alive. Everybody fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer. Naked Airlines.
Now let's sing along one more time.
Yeah, no one's got nothing on Naked Airlines.
And our thanks to Loose Bruce Kerr for that inspired tune called Naked Airlines. Billy's on the line next. You can call me 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. You were singing along.
Yeah, sure. I do what you tell me to do. I'm obedient. I could be a Republican.
Yeah, right.
You know, but they all do it, is the answer to Pombo. You know?
Yeah.
They're all crooks. You know, we've got Sacramento, so let's send out the message. Doolittle and Pombo, they're twins.
Yes,
they're
they
bad
are.
Guys. They're so deep in bed with Abramoff that I don't want to tell you what goes on under the sheets. You know, I get mad, and people think I'm crazy because I got a lot of passion for this because I get angry. But, you know, what we need to realize is this is happening because of all the people who don't get mad, because of that editorial you read.
Yeah.
That we're willing to accept this, but they all do it.
They're saying,
they're not saying that.
They're saying, he's corrupt, so what? He's our guy.
And they're all corrupt. They've all done it. I mean, you know, we accept, you know, my larger theme is our democracy is already lost once they shape their own districts. You know, all the things they do to make democracy go away. The fact that we've accepted that is shocking to me, and I'm still trying to get people to understand that maybe they don't get it. Like when they say, but they all do it, folks, you're hypnotized, you're under their control, they don't all do it, and it's our responsibility to see that they don't keep doing it.
Well, you're right about that, and unfortunately, you know, it's easy to blame the media. It's easy to blame the big corporations that provide all that money. But the bottom line is that absent stolen elections via voting machines, people are lazy. People are willing to accept the status quo. And people are willing to accept pandering to their self-interest over any kind of an honest sense of what's the common good in this country.
And especially the fearful ones, as the Republicans have discovered.
Yeah.
You know, between greed and fear, they've got it covered. But, geez, you know, we just can't accept it any longer. We have to sort of suggest to ourselves and our friends that, and it's what you said, though, it's like the media. The media could galvanize us. The media could give us the kind of goots we need. Every day they could be giving us the facts behind what's really going on as opposed to repeating what they say. We're being let down by the media in such a major way because that was the other thing set up, you know, when the government was set up. The media was sort of there as our only sort of protection against the rest of it. And they have so failed us that I really think that we need to blame ourselves, but we have to blame the media because they're the ones supposed to be on our butts.
I'll go 50-50.
Okay.
And you know, Billy, what you've just articulated is the reason why I decided to try to help Pete McCloskey. You know, I am very careful. I've been working in media, and when I'm not doing a talk show, I help people place programs. I buy advertising. I do things like that. That's my real job. And I only occasionally work on political campaigns and only for people who I personally respect. And in this case...
Well, what do you mean? You're not a whore? You actually do what you believe in?
Well, I try not to hoe too much because it's hard out there for a pimp, you know? But in this case, the opportunity to help somebody in a long-shot effort to knock off a powerful incumbent who is clearly corrupt and who has used his office to advance very narrow interests of his own, like killing the Endangered Species Act, like funneling money to the wind farms that are owned by his family, by siting a new freeway so it runs right past land owned by the Pombo family. It's that kind of insider stuff that we really need to put a stop to. And Pete McCloskey has promised he would only serve two terms at most, and I know him well enough to know that he would be a great addition even if Democrats don't win back the House this November, because he would be an inside agitator on the Republican side, speaking up for truth and fairness and an end to all of this insider scheming.
On both sides, they need agitators. There's nothing worse than the leadership of both these parties.
Well, unfortunately, I can't disagree with you. Thank you very much, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
Always good to talk to you. There's still room for another call if you want to join me. 899-5792 in the 831 area code, or toll-free 888-579-2540. But if you don't call, I've got a couple of items I want to share with you. First of all, we've been following the clean elections effort here in California. If you want more information, the website is caclean.org. That's caclean.org. And on Wednesday... The bill AB 583 was scheduled for a vote in the Senate Elections Committee, which is chaired by Deborah Bowen. The problem she ran into is that a leading Democratic senator, Gloria Romero of the Los Angeles area, was reportedly not ready to vote for AB 583, and her vote is critical. So the assembly member Hancock, who is the author of the bill, and Deborah Bowen, the chair of the Senate Elections Committee, decided to delay the vote to give more time to work with the committee and, I guess, try to flip Gloria Romero into supporting this. And following the unexpected announcement, over 50 Californians who went to Sacramento from all over the state, some may be listeners to this program, to testify in favor of the bill, marched over to the office of Senate President Pro Tem Don Parada to ask for his clarification. And Parada soon came out, had a cordial discussion with the crowd. He pledged his support for the measure and for public funding of election campaigns in California. So if this is important to you, and I hope it is, please make a note to contact the office of Gloria Romero in the State Senate in Sacramento. If you go to sen.ca.gov, there are links to all of the websites of the individual members of the State Senate, and I encourage you to express yourself on that important issue. Also, I get occasional correspondence from Colonel Charest, a retired Air Force colonel, who lives in Texas, and just every once in a while he hits me, you know, right between the eyes. And he wrote this regarding President Bush and the signature yesterday that he applied to the $70 billion tax cut extension bill. And our correspondent writes, President Bush says, with this bill, we're sending the American people a clear message about our policy. We're to continue to trust the American people with their own money. And the colonel writes, this sounds good unless we understand the bill we are leaving the next generation. The info below can be verified by going to U.S. National Debt Clock. The national debt increased from $0.9 trillion to $4.2 trillion, an increase of over 450% during the 12 years while Reagan and Bush Sr. were in office. And during that time, he cut the top tax rate from 70 to 28%. The debt increased under Clinton by $1.4 trillion to $5.6 trillion in 8 years. The last full year he was in office, the debt increased $18 billion, or $5 million a day. The debt increased another $2.7 trillion under Bush Jr. to $8.3 in 5 years. Since September 30th of 05, the 230-day period to the 18th of May in 06, the debt has increased by $409 billion, at the rate of $1.78 billion a day. That is 356 times higher per day than Clinton's last year of $5 million a day. Our interest on the national debt for fiscal years 03, 04, and 05 is a total of $991 billion. He says all wasted money, that's true. And it's probably now at least $1 billion a day. Our national debt is a total of $8.3 trillion, 4.8 of it in public debt, the other 3.5 in congressional IOUs to Social Security, Medicare, and other trust funds. And he closes, he says, I'm sure we would all look good on our financial blocks if we spent 125% more than we earned until the debt collector comes. No wonder our country looks so good financially. We are in debt up to our eyeballs. Well, Colonel, thank you very much. I appreciate that email. And if you want to drop me an email, you're welcome to do so. You can go to peterbcollins.com or just send it to peter at peterbcollins.com. It's that easy. So thanks a lot for joining me today. We'll be back at you tomorrow with another power-packed show. We'll talk about Judith Miller of the New York Times, who now says she was tipped off in advance to the 9/11 attacks. And we're also going to talk to State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell about the high school exit exam. That's all ahead tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show. I hope you'll join me then. Same time, same station.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Tom Hartman.
So today, Alberto Gonzalez comes out and says that he's been watching child porn. And he describes it extremely graphically. In fact, so graphically, frankly, I don't want to quote the Attorney General.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It reminds me of Ed Meese. He created this Meese Commission on Pornography. And he came out and announced that he had watched over 800 hours of pornography. And they were convinced that watching pornography destroys people's minds. Then, Ed, why don't you check yourself into a hospital?
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milligano. A dramatic development today on the cancer front. The number two killer of women is cervical cancer. 70% of the cases caused by a virus. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Caledon.
An FDA panel's unanimous support of the cervical cancer vaccine known as Gardasil means it will soon be on the market, with the power to prevent 70% of cervical cancer cases worldwide, saving 3,500 lives in the United States alone. It's the first vaccine ever specifically designed to prevent cancer. It works by blocking the sexually transmitted viruses that cause most cervical cancers. In trials of 17,000 young women, it was 100% effective.
It could mean $2 billion a year in sales to the giant pharmaceutical Merck & Company. But the good news for Merck is tempered by a new report about the painkiller Vioxx, taken off the market by Merck because of the connection with heart attack and stroke. Dr. Kurt Furberg of the FDA's Drug Safety and Risk Management Advisory Committee says data is revealing the risk of stroke doesn't end when you stop using Vioxx.
It's a very strong trend. When I look at when the events occur, it's intriguing that many of them occurred 9-10 months after stopping. So I would be worried.
Merck is already battling thousands of lawsuits over Vioxx. President Bush on the border in Arizona, talking up his plans for immigration reform and expressing sympathy today toward Arizona for the toll that illegal immigration takes on the state. In the Yuma area, there is a huge fence along the border.
I don't think the fence alone is going to do the trick, but I do think a fence in certain parts, coupled with additional manpower, coupled with a temporary worker plan, will do the job.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger backed off his opposition to using the guard to guard the border, saying today, as long as it's not permanent, but he still questions it.
I think this is just the beginning. I think they will realize that the 6,000 men are not enough, that it is too much of a distance, that they need probably 50,000 or so. I mean, who knows?
A horse farm outside of Detroit, the latest target of the FBI in the search since 1975 for former Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa. CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart says agents were out at the farm in force today.
Law enforcement officials say several months ago, a jailed informant offered detailed information that Hoffa was buried on the farm near a large...